Good afternoon. I'll give a brief introduction about the World Food Prize for those of you who may not know the World Food Prize and their Global Youth Institute, of which we have been a little bit of a part of. And so the World Food Prize, in 1970, Dr. Norman Borlaug received the Nobel Peace Prize for his work with wheat and bringing about the Green Revolution and eliminating poverty and hunger in so many countries. And so what he noticed was the Nobel Peace Prize system does not have a recognition for people working on food security issues. And so he decided to form the World Food Prize in 1986, and which is often referred to as the Nobel Peace Prize for Food and Agriculture. And 1987, the first World Food Prize winner was Dr. M. S. Swaminathan from India, and he worked with Dr. Norman Borlaug to bring about Green Revolution in India back in the 60s and 70s, and since then there has been no famine in India. And I'm proud to say Dr. M. S. Swaminathan is my uncle. So, and also the World Food Prize is awarded, the guidelines for the award is a specifically to exceptionally significant individual achievement at any point along the full range of spectrum of food production and distribution chain. So these are some of the categories, the different categories that you can work on to be awarded the World Food Prize. So it goes all the way from agronomy to marketing, nutrition, economics, all sorts of the whole criteria. There are so many different categories. And 2018 winners of the World Food Prize are Dr. Haddad and Nabarro, and they were working on undernutrition, malnutrition in African countries. And typically the World Food Prize is always happens in Des Moines, Iowa every October, and in conjunction with the Borlaug Dialogue. And so the global, Dr. Borlaug was always concerned about the, as we are now, about the next generation of horticulture or agricultural workers who is going to work on food security. So he was very interested in working with the youth. And so he started, along with John Ruan in Iowa, initiated the Iowa Youth Institute, and it started in 1994 with 12 participating Iowa high schools. And this program is for high school students. And then there was a national expansion of the youth programs, which went to, first it started with Ohio State University, Texas, Nebraska, Minnesota, Indiana, New York, and a lot of other universities. And I have participated in the Global Youth Institute in the past as a faculty expert, and I noticed that Colorado was not represented. So, and I found out that I was hoping to do it through the Denver Botanic Gardens, but found out that it had to be through a land grant organized institution, so that way they're recruiting the next generation of scientists to their curriculum. So I worked with Colorado State University. In 27, we started our first Colorado Youth Institute. We had two students who went to the Global Youth Institute. So it starts with the State Youth Institute, and then that funnels students into the Global Youth Institute. And then in 2018, we had our April 29th was our Colorado Institute, but unfortunately, we didn't get high student participation. So, but a lot of the other states have very successful programs. And so the Global Youth Institute, a little bit of background, since 1994 when it was started, over 2,000 high school students and over 900 teacher mentors from 44 states and territories and 30 foreign countries have participated. And of these, and after the once you participate in the youth program, there are two internship fellowship opportunities. The high school students can either participate in the Borlaug-Ruan International Internship or the USDA Wallace Carver Fellowship. And so you can see the number of students and from how many states have participated in both these programs over the years. And so the Youth Institute, the guiding principles are to engage the students in a way that they can approach food security issues with a feeling of personal responsibility, understanding and engagement in a fashion that does not bore, frighten, or leave them feeling hopeless or fearful of their future. So it engages high school students and the teachers through real-world science, agricultural, and food security issues. And it helps teachers with a variety of disciplines, including STEM, fields, and integrates a global component into their classrooms, which was very much lacking. I have had both my sons go through high school and the international. Nobody gets, the high school students never get information about all the global problems. and it engages students in hands-on contemporary research and in programs that address global food security. And also it builds communities of knowledge where they are working with their peers when they come to the Global Youth Institute, as well as practitioners in the field. And so the initial is high school students. First, they participate in the State Youth Institute, and then they go to the global. And from the State Youth Institute, I think there is a quota of how many students can go. So the top students from there are selected to the Global Youth Institute. That happens in conjunction with the World Food Prize and the Borlaug Dialogue in October in Des Moines. And then from there, qualified students get selected for the Borlaug Rouen internship. And then, or the USDA internship, and then they go to college, and they can also stay in touch with their program as alumni with the World Food Prize Youth Institute. And this is another chart that shows how it works. The laureates, they will select a topic, a Global Youth Institute, they'll select a topic, the students research the topic and write an essay on the topic, of a 3 to 5 page essay, so they need to do the research in their high schools. And then they submit that for the State Institute, and then they're selected, and when they go to the Global Institute, they discuss, they're segmented into groups. There are one or two faculty experts that work with each of the student, and then with the student groups, and then they discuss all the issues, and then do a final summation. And then they have a practicum tour during the symposium, as well as a teacher workshop during the symposium. And so annually, there are about 200 high school students and teacher mentors, as I mentioned earlier. So they participate in the 3-day institute, the Borlaug Dialogue, and then it engages teachers, and I've already mentioned that. And then they write the research paper and then present it to the international experts in the final day of the institute. And so the students, so there are various topics, societal, economics, climate, geography, agronomy. They can select from 20 different topics. The students pick a country that they, there is a list of countries that they're given. They pick a country, they pick a topic, they do the research, and then that's how they write the research paper. So these are the student research papers, and then a student presenting at the Global Youth Institute. And it's pretty impressive, these high school students, the papers that they come up with. I've served as faculty expert for about 4 years, and so it's quite impressive how the students do that. And so then they all get together, discuss all the issues each student presents, and then they all come up to a conclusion, what are the common factors that are affecting food security. And then they all discuss that and then write a summation, and then each group presents their summation to the entire audience of all the experts. And then the teachers get continuing workshop during the Global Youth Institute. And then students participate. They have a lot of field trips and activities during that that they get to engage in, and they also get to talk to all the experts who are there at the Youth Institute. And you can see in one of the pictures, Joyce Banda, who was the ex-president of Malawi, she always comes to the World Food Prize event, and so the students get to participate and meet all these international folks who are working, scientists who are working on real-world problems. And then this was the 2016 Global Youth Institute that I participated in. I was a faculty expert along with Dr. Daniel Halal, who was the 2013, I believe, from Israel for the water work that he had done. He was the laureate from 2013. And then following that, students who qualify, they can apply for the Borlaug Rouen internship, which was created in 1998. And which 297 high school students from 29 states have had assignments as international interns to 34 international agricultural research centers or institutions and NGOs in about 20 countries. And how often do high school students get to experience something like this? And these are some of the pictures from students in various projects in Bangladesh, Ethiopia, Turkey, with wheat breeding in Peru, potato, working on potatoes. And then these are the interns then come back to the Youth Institute and they present a poster on the work that they did. And then the Wallace Carver Fellowship is at USDA, and high school students as well as college students, they get placed as fellows at USDA or institution. Then they get real-world experience and work on groundbreaking research, policy, and nutrition. And then continuation of this, participants with formative experience that inspired them to pursue chosen academic or career paths that may reinforce the interest by continuing to involve with these international conferences and events addressing critical global challenges. And also it recruits youth program alumni who have participated. They always come back and volunteer during the Youth Institute so they can be mentors to the new students that are coming through. And also the World Food Prize provides continued support to all these youth alumni as far as their college admissions, providing various scholarships and fellowships, as well as employment. And then they maintain that close mentorship role throughout their career or graduate and undergraduate education. And then, so what we did is at the Denver Botanic Gardens, we decided that we did not get much participation from high schools this year, and it has been a challenge promoting it. And one of the things we did is working with Colorado State University, we developed a World Food Prize workshop series for teacher workshop, giving them 3 continuing education credits. And a lot of teachers during the summer are looking for continuing education credits. And so we worked and created 3 days, 3 Mondays. It was whatever number of hours that it was, the continuing credits were through the Colorado School of Mines. And so we did 3 days of workshops. The last one was yesterday, where we did one of our, from Front Range Community College, one of the instructors there was teaching the teachers how to teach writing to high school students. And that is the biggest challenge, a 5-page essay, how to teach writing. And I did last Monday on global food security, and one of my colleagues did on the food systems in Colorado and the challenges about food systems in Colorado. 5 minutes. And so, actually, I'm done. So I want to acknowledge the World Food Prize and Lisa Fleming, who was the former World Food Prize Director of Global Education, International Internships and Career Development. She used to be at the World Food Prize, and they provided some of the slides to me and some of the statistics. So I want to acknowledge them. So if you have any questions, I'm open to questions.
You mentioned your uncle. What is the special veteran? I'm sorry, that went over.
He was a wheat breeder, and then he was also the director general in ERIE, International Rice Research Institute. And it was for his work in rice that he got the World Food Prize. Well, thank you.